Welcome to episode 25 of the Reading Coves podcast. If you're a book lover who may be interested in joining our online book club, please visit our website at thereadingcove.com. For December 2012, we're discussing A Reliable Wife by Robert Gulrich. So, hi, I'm Millennia from Florida.
And I'm Roberta from Georgia.
And welcome. We are gathered here to discuss our 145th Cove pick, A Reliable Wife, and by Robert Gulrich. And that was chosen by Cove member Miriam. And what'd you think of A Reliable Wife, Roberta?
Well, I gave it a C, and I don't give too many C's. So.
I know, right?
So
usually I'm, you read.
I'm not as bad as some people with their D's or I you know, as you know, every once in a while I have a D and F. But if it's a co-pick, you know, I feel compelled. I have to finish it.
Right.
And it's just the story. I mean, I know there's a lot of descriptions and other things, but it just seemed flat to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain it, but it was just flat. There was, I know it's supposed to be mainly about character studies more than action, but there's something, I don't know, the author could have done something to kind of perk it up a little bit with all these other wild things that were going on. It was just kind of bland.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, because my impression was that the characters were so one note.
Right,
they
right.
Were, like you're saying, flat. They weren't very complex. They had a lot of issues, but it didn't come across as flaws or complexity. It was just sort of this sort of one note complaining, you know, and whining and one trackedness, because like with Catherine, it was all about Antonio
right
at first. And then she shifted that to his father. And then with the father, it was all about guilt, guilt, guilt. And Antonio, it was just revenge, revenge, revenge.
Right.
And then all of them with the sex. They were just, you know, it was, I don't know. I just did not enjoy this book at all. I'm one of the ones who gave it a D.
Well, and that's okay. And I said that when I give something a C, that's a pretty low grade for me, because if it were in the D category, other than the cold pick, like I said, it would be DNF, you know,
yeah.
Because I just can't plow through something. There's too many books in my big mountain of books to be read, even though I've making a dent in it, to waste time on something that's not enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I give things a fair shake. I mean, if someone says, oh, it takes you a little bit to get into it, but once you do, you'll be happy, then I'll try a little bit longer. But this, I mean, the main thing that was interesting is several of Cove members said that the atmosphere was really described very vividly, that you could almost feel the whole oppressive coldness,
yes,
of it, the wintry feel. And maybe the writer wanted to have it in the wintry feel because these people all were like kind of in some dull, dreary issues of their own.
Oh, yeah. So, like Lori, I think, made a good point about, you know, some of the things that couldn't have happened in the plot if it weren't for that cold weather.
Cold, long, long, never-ending winter.
Never-ending winters, yeah. So it did. That was like the best part of the book for me. I really did feel the cold.
Yeah, he did create, you know, a very atmospheric portion in that part. The characters, not so much, but I felt like, oh, please, I feel like I'm in endless winter. Let me out of here.
Yeah, I want a warm fire.
Yeah, by a warm fire, cocoa or something.
Yes.
But I've known people that recently told me they'd lived in some place where there's long, cold winters, but they didn't go berserk and kill anybody.
I know.
But
poison like people for months.
Like these people here. I mean, it's just, maybe that does happen. Maybe he did research, and maybe there were cases in the early part of the 20th century where people, where they were so isolated and it was so cold and no sun or whatever, maybe that did push them over the brink, because they do, you know, this seasonal affective disorder is a true case. They didn't have a name for it back then.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, I had a friend through choir that he said, I forget where he said he lived, but someplace like this where it was dark and cloudy and dreary, like the better part of the year. and that he finally had to move away. He had to move south, not so much because of the cold. It's just he got so he just felt so depressed he could hardly stand it. And but then as soon as he got to a place that had sunshine a few more days than not, then he felt much better. And that would be a bad feeling to be in a place where you just felt like everything was pressing down on you. You just couldn't see, you know, the sun in your life, or much less outdoors. So,
right. And I think that it's not that something like this couldn't happen, or that, you know, the weather and the setting couldn't, you know, or you couldn't find stories where something like this took place in a small, cold, frigid town.
Right.
I just, you know, I put it on the writing. I just think the author could have done a little better job with the story, and not necessarily having to create likable characters or a likable character.
Right.
It's fine that none of the characters are people that you can, you know, necessarily like or identify with, but these three main characters were not people you want to spend 300 pages with.
No.
That for me anyway, I know there were people in the group who enjoyed this, like Heather.
Yeah.
She really liked it. I think she gave it an A- or something. And Monica enjoyed it. I don't think anybody else gave it an A or a B.
Yeah, I think they were in the little minority.
Yes.
You and I were, and most of the people were in the vast majority of how we felt towards it. Well, I could see some people might like it. It did have a gothic feel to it, but this was no, you know, Victoria Holt old-fashioned gothic creepy story. You know, even though those aren't highly regarded as great literature, I read enough of those, you know, growing up, those gothic things, and it did pull you in because there is always these mysterious things going on, and, you know, still sort of the fight between good and evil. And that poor Mr. Gulrich, he just didn't capture that, you know, type of thing. He needed to go back and read a few of these older authors to, you know, get more feeling for the things. Because people still do like, they're not as popular as they once were, like probably in the 60s and 70s. But every once in a while you pick up a book and it still has this old-fashioned gothic feel to it.
Well, I think that maybe Mr. Gulrich and, you know, his publisher would disagree with that, because this book has been very successful. It's a bestseller, and it has found its market and people who respond, you know, to this type of thing. But I just feel like he didn't assume a very high level of intelligence for the reader.
Right.
In the way that he handled the twist, I felt gerrymandered. It's like you're trying to gerrymander the reader when you clearly lead them to believe that Catherine, and spoiler alert, even though you should have read the book if you're listening to this,
right?
But if you believed that Catherine and Antonio were complete strangers, he went out of his way in the beginning to set them up as strangers. And then the way in which he reveals it when she goes back, you know, she's, you know, like obsessed with going back to Antonio's house, and then she goes back to his house and it's, oh, all of that was just a ruse. We're really in cahoots, and we've known each other all along. And I just don't think he handled it in a very plausible way. That was just so haphazard.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt. And so when I, you know, that was like chapter 13 or something, and I felt like, okay, you're just manipulating the reader here. It's very amateur. And, you know, I mean, I can think of several other ways that he could have done it and pointed to where the reader should have picked up on that before. I always thought, obviously, she will probably get involved with Antonio, right? When what's the man's name that she married? Ralph. When Ralph, you know, first told her, okay, I want you to go find my son and meet with these lawyers that I hired or whatever. And I thought, okay, obviously she's going to get involved with the son. You know, right. It's like you could see that coming a mile away. But there was nothing to give you the indication that she had just left the son when she came to Wisconsin.
Right.
You know, and it's like, because he worked overtime to make sure nobody knew that. It's almost as if he just got the idea.
As he was writing along,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he just decided, oh, what if I make it that they've known each other all along and they're in cahoots together? And, you know, it just didn't go over well. So I couldn't forgive it after that. And I too only finished it because it was a Cove pick. God bless Miriam for picking it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, and as we said, sometimes you read this synopsis of a book, and like, so you see, oh gosh, this has been a big bestseller. Well, not everything that hits a bestseller list is exactly literary or high grade material. It's just what people get attracted to, what
certain
they pick.
People. Yeah, a certain segment of people, I would say.
Certain segment of people, yeah, that yeah. It appeals to them. And it's fine, you know, if they just read this to be entertained and mm-hmm. you know, don't think too much about it or don't want to discuss it, then, you know, it might be okay for certain people. And I could see why certain people would like it. But like you said, it just didn't, you know, grab me. Like I said, it was just flat. And like you say, you felt like you've been manipulated a little bit. I mean, I like gotcha twists in some cases, but this wasn't the same thing. This wasn't a gotcha twist like the same
gotcha
of some of these other mysteries that I read that you know, you think all along, oh yeah, I know who did it, but no, you don't.
And they gotcha. But you can
at the very end page, you go, whoa,
yeah,
did I miss something?
Exactly.
But there's no red herrings, you know.
When they get you, it's like you don't feel manipulated. You're
right.
Like, oh, that's clever. There's a difference between clever and contrived.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So yeah, I love a good gotcha. And I, you know, like I was saying, I think this could have been the same, except he could have, you know, dropped little hints before that the reader may have missed. And
yeah, little red herrings.
Revealed,
yeah.
Exactly. Then you could say, oh, wow, you know, and okay, I got to keep reading. I'm interested in their relationship. But instead, I just felt like, oh, I don't care about their relationship, you know? And then there was the scene where she was like Catherine was describing Antonio's kiss to like slippery oysters or something. I was like, ew.
Well, see, that grossed me out even more because since I am very intolerant of oysters are just on, you know, the nasty list for me because I can't have any of that type of stuff. So to bring up the thing of an oyster, that just made me real queasy just even thinking about it.
And even if I enjoyed eating oysters, that I wouldn't compare somebody's kiss to an oyster.
I know, that just sounds kind of slimy and disgusting.
Yes.
No matter whether you like oysters or not, that was just the word picture I got out of it. It was like, yuck.
Exactly. That was so gross. And then, you know, of course, there's all the sex, and I'm not a prude. But there was no sensuality. It's like, did he think that this was in any way sensual? It was just so slimy, like.
Yeah.
Between Catherine and Ralph and his obsession with everybody's sex life.
Yeah, he's kind of a perv.
Yeah.
In a way.
And then her and Antonio and their, like, borderline sadomasochism.
Yeah.
And it was just, not my cup of tea.
Yeah, if you want some spicy sex scenes, this wasn't it. This wasn't it. You know, you gotta look a little bit further to somebody else. And working in the library for a while when the book first came out, it never hit the shelves. Like you said, it was checked out all the time.
This book?
I thought, boy, this must be a great book, you know, because people were just checking it out right and left, putting holds on it.
Yeah.
But you know, I just had too many other things to read, so I hadn't gotten around to, you know, even thinking about reading it until it was the Cove pick.
Do you remember any of the positive comments from Heather and Monica about why they enjoyed it?
Well, I think like they said, they felt like it. I think one of them said they felt like it was a old fashioned gothic sort of story that they liked that part of it, or that they liked the twists and turns in the story too, if I remember correctly. So, you know, that's okay. There's something for everybody. Something, you know, as we'd said in the Cove earlier, there's too many of these book snobs you'll come across. You just have to read what you like. But sometimes that's the one good thing about a book club, be it online or face to face, is sometimes it pushes you out of your comfort zone for good or for bad. So you can see more of what's out there, and then your own little personal library or whatever calls to you of the new books.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, my final comments would be that if, you know, this is for people who, I don't know who this is for, honestly.
Well, after they read it, they probably might want, you know, like I've said, like some of these other things, you might feel like you had to go grab the antidepressant things because it was pretty depressing,
and
the whole thing.
Take a bath. Have a bath. You know, it's like.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was just, you know, kind of sad. And I can read books that are sad and everything, but you want eventually some sort of hope and something at the end of the story. But I don't think things are ever going to be very well for the characters, even though Catherine and Ralph got back together. And then, as other people said, the weirdest thing was how, after he knew he was being poisoned, you know, he didn't just throw her hiney out in the snow.
No,
you know?
He was like using her as his way of suicide. It's like, I know you're killing me. Oh, and you know what? I also know that you and Antonio have been in cahoots the whole time. Oh, and you know what? I know everything from the moment that you were born. I mean, it's like he knew everything the whole time.
Yeah.
It was just like not well done at all. I don't think it was.
Like I said, he was kind of, you know, as we said, kind of twisted anyhow about wanting to know everybody else's sex lives. So, like I said, another member said maybe he just felt like that he could let her poison him and that would absolve him. If he had to suffer, that was absolve him of some of his guilt from his earlier days that, you know.
Beating up the Antonio when he was a kid. And
right. His violence with Antonio and then the other things. And then him not, when he could have gone to help his, you know, then ex-wife. He could have helped her, but he didn't. So he had a lot of emotional guilty baggage he was dragging around.
Yeah, and I never took them seriously enough to even get into trying to explain or reason out, you know, like Joyce had been coming up with this idea about, I don't even remember now, but she gave this some explanation for something. And I'm just like, you are just working overtime to give this author some benefit of the doubt. And I just think it's just, you know, a deficiency in the writing.
Right.
Itself. And, you know, no disrespect to the author, but that's where I kind of saw it. You know, the characters were kind of hollow to me, vapid. And it's just, you know, they were just thinking like a wash, rinse, repeat, endless cycle of just the whining, complaining, and justifying the way that they are. It's all about they're thinking about sex and money and death and very little else.
Right.
So it was just... I don't know. I couldn't enjoy it.
Yeah, it could have been a much better book if other things had been sort of fleshed out a little bit more. Or even though it showed a little bit about the past, you still didn't really understand some of the motivation for some of the characters.
Right. Do you have any memorable scenes from it or anything like that?
I mean, the only thing that really sticks out that I'll probably remember down the road was that Ralph just letting her poison him.
If I remember anything, and we didn't talk about the Catherine sister character. Alice.
Right.
Was it Alice or Amy or something?
Alice.
Yeah, and she was just like a combination of all of the characters. the like, ooh-ness. It was like hopeless with her.
Well, yeah, I don't think she wanted things to be any different. She'd sort of kind of given into her situation and didn't want to try to find a way out.
Yeah, and then there's, you know, Catherine still trying to save her until she finally realizes that, hey, she doesn't want to be saved.
Well, yeah, and that's one authentic thing in a way, too, with that character, that you do meet real people even that you think, well, if they just had a good friend or if they just did this, they could get away from this whatever horrible mess they're in. But I found over the years, unless somebody really wants to drag themselves out of the horrible mess, it doesn't matter what you say or do.
Right.
You know, it's just going to, you just sometimes have to even remove yourself from that person because their negativity will just
bring you down. Yeah.
Will just drain you and just make you feel bad and feel.
Absolutely.
You know, I think Alice didn't want to climb out of, you know, her life or situations. You know, at least Catherine wanted to be a good sister. That was one good thing about her.
Mm-hmm.
She was very manipulative and conniving otherwise, but at least she, you know, had the loyalty towards her sister.
She did. Well, so that is our take on A Reliable Wife by Robert Gulrich. And we want to thank our listeners, as always, for listening. And leave us your comments. Did you read A Reliable Wife? And you should have if you're listening to this. And leave us your comments and let us know what you thought about the book, if you liked it or you didn't like it. And stay tuned for our January episode. We'll be discussing Any Bitter Thing by Monica Wood. See you next month. Bye.
Bye.